To Acts chapter 20 tonight, and hi to the Rainses. I never got to say hi to them yet, but maybe I'll have fewer texts on my phone now that you guys are here. The kids have been enjoying texting, or especially Amber Lee and Brooklyn texting Bethany and Elizabeth, so... All right, Acts chapter 20, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 22 tonight. Here in Acts chapter 20, we have Paul on his way to Jerusalem, knowing that he was going to face problems when he got to Jerusalem, knowing that he was going to face bonds, and there was going to be some issues that he was going to face ahead of him, and it was going to be something that the church here at Ephesus, without his presence, was going to have to face the issues in life that they were going to have to face without Paul there to help them and to show them the way. And it says, and I'm going to skip ahead to verse 37, it says, "And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship." So we find here that the church of Ephesus is going to have to face life without seeing the apostle Paul. And when somebody has been close to you, when somebody has been dear to you, you know, that can cause troubles in your life. You know, here's this church that was going to have to face life, so to speak, without the Apostle Paul close by, able to help them through some of the problems. Now, he had spent a good amount of time there at Ephesus, but now they're going to have to face the issues of life without him there. And it says here in verse number 22, it says, "And now Paul speaking, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." So he didn't, I guess, know exactly what was going to happen. Later on, soon, he finds out that he's going to be bound, but he's bound in the Spirit. He understands that there's very likely going to be difficulties happening to him. "Say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." So I guess I was right. He did know there was going to be bound. He was going to be in bonds. But verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all." So here the church at Ephesus is going to be facing life, so to speak, without the Apostle Paul. Now, there was time here, obviously, where he wasn't with them, but now he is preparing them for his absence, preparing them for times of trouble that they would be going through. Now, we live in, obviously, very interesting days. You think of the political landscape of our country, and it seems somewhat messed up. There's issues that our country is facing. You think of the future of our country, and it doesn't look very bright. You know, we are facing troublesome times. But tonight, I'd like us to look at three actions that will keep you standing in troublesome times. Standing in troublesome times. How are you going to stand against the tide of trouble that you may be facing? And here Paul prepares the church at Ephesus. The first action that must be a part of your life, and they're just going to be real short, but then we're going to maybe explain them a little bit further. But the first action is, number one, you need to be aware. You need to be aware. You need to be alert. Notice what he says in verse number 28. He's speaking here to the elders or to the pastors at the church of Ephesus, and he says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves." The first area here as he's speaking to the pastors is they need to stay alert to their own spiritual condition. They need to stay alert to their own spiritual condition. He says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves." Now, a lot of times we think, well, we need to always be thinking of others. And yes, it's true, we need to be thinking of others. And he speaks of that at the end of this passage. But here, he says that they are to be taking heed to themselves, to their own spiritual condition. To take heed is to be in a state of alert, to be concerned about, to care for, to take care of. All right, and as a preacher, one thing you have to be careful of is your own spiritual condition. It can be easy to allow your own spiritual condition to slide. But Paul here is speaking to the elder, and he's like, take heed, therefore. And the first area he says for them to take heed, therefore, is to themselves. And you know, tonight, you know, you may not be an elder, you may not be a pastor, but there may be people that you are ministering to. And to effectively minister to them, you need to be alert to your own spiritual condition. You need to be aware. You need to be concerned about it. You need to take care of it. But then not only do you need to be aware or alert to your own spiritual condition, but you also need to stay alert to the needs of others. It says here, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock." And here you see one of the jobs of the pastor is to be aware of the needs of the congregation. And you know, people in the church shouldn't cower at that, or shouldn't put up a red flag, or you know, resist the fact that the pastor is to be aware, is to be alert to the spiritual condition of the people in his congregation. You know, we live in a very independent society, and people want to be independent. People want to do their own thing. But yet, as believers, we need to understand that the pastor is to be concerned and aware of the spiritual condition of the flock. And it's one of the ways that it allows the flock to stand in troublesome times. So it's important for even the people in the congregation to understand that that's one of the roles of the elders, of the pastors, is to be aware of the needs, the spiritual needs in the congregation. It says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." We see that this is a sacred responsibility. It is the Holy Spirit that's the one that has made the pastor the overseer. All right, he's one that is to watch out. He's one that is over. He is the overseer. So there's a sacred responsibility. There's also a sacred trust involved. Notice what it says here. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Think of that. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You know, the church is not owned by an individual. All right, the church was purchased at a very great price. And that was the blood of Christ. You know, if you're saved tonight, it's a reminder, and if you're not saved tonight, it's a reminder that salvation is not something we earn. All right, salvation was something that was purchased by Christ. And here it's speaking of the church, which is the people. All right, it was purchased. And so there's a sacred trust that's involved here. It's something that the Lord Jesus Christ purchased. All right, and it's interesting to feed the church of God. It really shows here as well the deity of Christ. Feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own what? His own blood. All right, so it obviously shows the deity of Christ that he was God and he purchased the church with his own blood. All right, so it's a sacred trust. It really clarifies as well salvation, that it's something that has been purchased. It's not something we earn, but it's a gift that's been given to us. All right, so there we need to stay alert to the needs of others, but there's another area we need to stay alert in, and that is to spiritual dangers. Notice what it says in verse 29. Paul says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you." The idea of grievous here is somebody with unbearable temperament. They're fierce, they're cruel, they're savage. All right, these people, in other words, they don't care about themselves. They care about themselves. They don't care about others. All right, they're grievous wolves. They're seeking to bring destruction into the church and into the people. It says they'll enter in among you, not sparing the flock. All right, and not sparing again shows how they don't really care about people. You know, they can come across like they care, but they really don't care. Not sparing the flock. They don't care about the condition and the spiritual perverseness that their teaching can bring to the people in the church. And it says, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things." All right, now you think here of perverse. It's to cause to depart from an accepted standard of oral or spiritual values. So there's an accepted standard. There's obviously we have the standard is set by God's word. But these people are trying to get people to depart from that standard. All right, they want people to what? They want people to change. You know, they might say something like, "Well, that's just, you know, man's opinion," or "That's just, you know, Pastor Robert's idea." Or that's just, they'll use many different tactics to get people to move themselves from a standard that's been set, ultimately from God's word. We see it all around us. You know, people are constantly wanting to change. They constantly want to move. And Paul is warning them that, hey, there are going to be grievous, and he labels them grievous wolves. You know, you think of wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, these aren't people that care about you, even though they may pretend to care about you. But they're grievous wolves, and notice how he characterizes their speech, speaking perverse things. And then notice what it says, to draw away, and notice, it's interesting the word that is used here, to draw away disciples after them, to draw away disciples. They want, and I guess maybe not interesting, but it's, they want to get their own following. You know, there's always people out there that want a following, and they'll do whatever they can to get people to follow their ideas. And so we need to be alert to spiritual dangers. One thing we need to notice about these spiritual dangers is the timing. You know, what was going to be the timing of these dangers? Well, Paul's going to be gone. You know, many times when there's a change of leadership or there's a perceived lack of leadership, somebody else wants to what? Come in and take advantage of that situation. How often do you see churches go downhill? When do they usually go downhill? Yeah, when there's a new pastor. And here Paul is warning them. This is what is going to take place. You know, Paul says that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul understood the danger of what the church at Ephesus was going to face. Can you imagine somebody for 3 years warning you about something over and over? And now he's what? He's reminding them of what he had told them. And so there is a timing many times that is associated with grievous wolves coming in. And sometimes that can be a change of leadership, or it can be a perceived lack of leadership, because obviously there was leadership there in the church at Ephesus. But it's as Paul maybe departs off the scene that they see their opportunity to move in. And we as God's people need to be aware of those things. But there's also tactics. And, you know, one of the tactics that people use is what? Is speech, speaking perverse things. Now, it sounds maybe rather obvious, but what do they use? They use words to confound the simple. So there's a tactics, there's a timing, and there's also tactics. So first of all, if you're going to stand, you need to be aware. You need to be alert. Over and over in Scripture, you think of Matthew 24, as Christ is warning the disciples, he says, watch. All right, that's the same, watch and pray, the same word that's used in this passage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 13, it says, watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. God wants us to be alert. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, be sober, be vigilant. That's the word for watch. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We as believers need to be careful that we are aware. There are approximately, let's see if I can find the number here, I guess I didn't write that number now, but there are 390,000 injuries each year from distracted drivers. You know, what's one of the issues with distracted driving? People are distracted by something, and so they aren't what? Alert or aware of what's happening around them. If you send or are reading a text, and this one place said, well, it could take somebody 5 seconds. So maybe it doesn't normally take you 5 seconds to send or read a text. But if you're going 55 miles an hour and it takes you 5 seconds, that's the length of an entire football field that you haven't been aware. You know, imagine closing your eyes and driving the entire length of a football field. You know, where might you end up? Now, I know maybe your eyes aren't closed, but in 2018, there was 2,841 people that died on the roads from distracted drivers. 1,230 of those were drivers, 605 were passengers, 400 were pedestrians. You know, that's when you walk on the road, you might want to get off the road when there's a car coming because people aren't always paying attention. 27 were bicyclists. So distraction, we understand when you're distracted, when you're not alert, and you're driving, it can cause great danger. But what about spiritually? Distracted driving, in an article, somebody defined it as any activity that diverts attention from driving. Notice that. Any activity that diverts attention from driving. If you're a distracted Christian, we could say any activity that diverts your attention from living the Christian life. You know, is there an activity in your life? You say, well, I think I'm pretty alert. But is there an activity that is diverting your attention away from doing what God wants you to do? We need to be alert. We need to, you know, cell phones nowadays. I mean, stuff can pop up on those so fast. Are you alert to spiritual danger? Are you alert wherever you might be? There's so much, you know, to maybe what people are saying, to the what you're reading, you know, and how these things can affect our thinking. We need to be alert over and over, and the Word of God talks about being alert. Are you alert to the spiritual counsel that people give you? Are you aware that, you know what, there are grievous wolves out there that are trying to destroy your life? So first of all, we need to be aware. Secondly, we need to be fed. All right, we need to be spiritually fed. It says here in verse number 27, notice what Paul said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Paul had spiritually fed the people at Ephesus. And then he tells the elders, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God." All right, we need to be spiritually fed. And the elders were to continue that, the pastors were to continue that in the lives of the people at Ephesus. And notice in verse 20, Paul says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Paul was concerned that these people understood and knew the truth, and not just some of the truth, but all the truth that was profitable to them. Another verse, verse number 32. It says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to" what? "The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." So again, here we see the importance of being spiritually fed. Paul was going to be gone. What was he commending them to? What was he giving them? He was giving them into somebody's sight. He was commending them to God and to the what? The word of his grace. You know, if you're going to stand in troublesome times, you have to be spiritually fed. You know, if you're not fed, you're going to wither. The storms are going to come and you're going to fall. And so you must be spiritually fed. In verse number 35, he says, "I have showed you" what? "All things." You know, the apostle Paul did not hold back in what he gave the people at Ephesus. You know, so many people today want, you know, a church that's just going to give them what they like to hear. You know, but sometimes what we need to hear is what we don't want to hear. But Paul, notice, I mean, he talks about how he gave them all the counsel of God. You know, is that what you want tonight? Do you want everything? I mean, if it steps on your toes, if it's something you're going to have to change something in your life, are you willing to hear it? Or the moment something just rubs you the wrong way, are you ready to want to go in a different direction? Well, the Apostle Paul understood that the people at Ephesus needed to be fed. Another thing that can show us that, verse number 31, it says, "Therefore watch and" what? "And remember." All right, remembering. All right, they need to remember what they were fed. "That by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Later on in verse 35, he says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ought to support the weak and" to what? "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus." So we see that focus on remembering. All right, taking what has been spiritually fed and allowing it to go through our minds again so that it can be applied to our lives. So we need to be aware. We need to be fed. Are you being spiritually fed? And then the third area we're going to look at tonight is found in verse number 35. He says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." You know, the third area, it seems maybe simple, but if we're going to stand in spiritually troublesome times, we need to be selfless. You know, you think of these grievous wolves entering in. What are they all about? If you go to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 and verse 18. We'll start in verse number 17. Get the context here some. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their what? Their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." So these people are all about what? Are all about who? They're all about themselves. All right? Their God is their own belly. And one of the things that Paul reminds them of is that in these last days, when these grievous wolves are going to come in, we need to remember to be selfless. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It says that how so laboring you ought to support the weak. We need to give of ourselves in our energy and our labor. And then he says, to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, you are dealing with a selfish world, and the answer to selfishness is selflessness. You know, one way to stand spiritually is to be selfless. You know, if you're going to fall spiritually, one of the reasons you're going to fall spiritually is because you have fallen into a pattern of life when you are the one that sits on the throne rather than God sitting on the throne. When you have become more about yourself rather than more about others. And Paul reminds them. I mean, if you were leaving somebody, is this what you would leave them with? But this is like one of the last things he leaves them with before he leaves, before they pray. And that was, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I mean, that seems like an interesting way. I mean, is that the last thing you would leave them with? But that's what Paul left them with. And it was the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's something that we need to remember, is that in troublesome times, we need to remember to be selfless. We need to remember to give of ourselves. You know, when you're giving out the gospel, what are you doing? Well, you're being selfless. You know, when you seek to help others, the whole point of that is not, you know, unfortunately in our day and age, people, you know, some people want to help others, but they don't have the right focus on helping them. You know, as Peter and John were about helping others, and they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." And they gave him something even greater. And in our giving, we need to understand the greatest gift that can be given to others, and that is salvation. So this evening, there's just three simple truths, but you need to be aware. Are you alert tonight? Are you aware of what's happening? But not only we need to be aware, but we need to be spiritually fed. And it's the Word of God that's going to give us the foundation to battle the false thinking that the devil wants to pervert our minds with. But then lastly, we need to be selfless in spite of the selfishness that may be happening all around us, remembering the blessedness, the happiness that comes as we give rather than seeking to get. You know, in our society, everybody wants something for free. But how often do we want to give something to somebody for free? You know, not expecting anything in return. like the song says, I would be giving and forget the gift. Is that what characterizes our lives tonight? Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would help us to stand in the day and age in which we live. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen your people tonight, that they would be alert. Lord, that they would be selfless. Lord, that they would understand the importance of being fed spiritually. Lord, of not resisting the Word of God. And Lord, I know how easy it is when something just goes against what we want, how it can be easy to resist. But Lord, I just pray that you would help us to be committed, Lord, to the truths of your Word. And Lord, that we would daily spend that time with you that will enable us to have that spiritual nourishment that will keep us with the thinking that is needed to counteract, Lord, the lies and the deception that are all around us. Lord, we pray tonight that you would work in our hearts. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. You know, maybe tonight there's a decision that you need to make. You know, how aware have you been? How alert have you been for, you know, to your own spiritual condition? Maybe the spiritual condition of those around you, if you're a father, to the spiritual condition of your children. Or how alert have you been to the spiritual dangers around you? You know, maybe there's a decision that you need to make in one of those areas tonight. Maybe it's about being fed spiritually and just to understand once again the importance of being fed. And, you know, when something goes against the grain that you hear from the pulpit, how are you going to respond to that? Or maybe it's your own daily walk with God and spending time in God's Word. And, you know, if there's a decision you need to make tonight, I know how easy it is on a Wednesday night. You hear it, and then maybe you go to prayer, and you know it goes in one ear and maybe out the other. But we need to be doers of the words. If God spoke in your heart tonight, I hope that you will do something about what God has spoken to you. Lord, we just pray that you would take your word and you would use it to build us up. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.